Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. We're in the beginning of a new year, a new calendar year. It is the year of mercy, and I have much want to say to you about mercy. You'll hear about it in another week or so, but I believe what I'm going to do is devote a week's programs to really taking a look together at the mercy of God, how we dispose ourselves to receive mercy, how we open up our hearts to receive all the mercy that God has for us. His mercy is infinite. His mercy is vast and wide. How do we put ourselves in the right place to be able to receive all that God has for us? So in another week or two, and I'll give you warning beforehand, but another week or two, I think I want to devote a week's programs to just speaking to you about mercy. But today we're going to continue with this week and the readings for this week. The first reading is taken from 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 9 to 20. Hannah rose after a meal at Shiloh and presented herself before the Lord. At the time, Eli the priest was sitting on a chair near the doorpost of the Lord's temple. In her bitterness, she's in a sense in her bitterness because she has not had a child. And she comes begging the Lord. In her bitterness, she prayed to the Lord, weeping copiously. And she made a vow, promising, O Lord of hosts, if you look with pity on the misery of your handmaid, if you remember me and do not forget me, if you give your handmaid a male child, I will give him to the Lord for as long as he lives. Neither wine nor liquor shall he drink, and no razor shall ever touch his head. She was willing, if God gave her a child, she was willing to give that child right back to God's service. Look at that generosity of heart. Her one child, her only child, perhaps, at that time she didn't know. But she was willing to return him, almost as though an act of thanksgiving to God. As she remained long at prayer before the Lord, Eli, that's the high priest there, Eli watched her mouth. For Hannah was praying silently, though her lips were moving. Her voice could not be heard. Eli, thinking her drunk, said to her, how long will you make a drunken show of yourself? Sober up for your wine. Now, I don't know about you, but I would have been very tempted to just stand up and walk out and totally ignore. He made a rash judgment and a very seriously wrong judgment of her. He reacted out of anger. How many times do we do that? How many people do we hurt when we react out of anger? Eli, thinking you're drunk, said to her, how long will you make a drunken show of yourself? Sober up from your wine. It isn't that, my Lord, Hannah answered. My goodness, what self-control. She was just given over to the Lord, and she seems to be able to take these things. It isn't that, my Lord, Hannah answered. I am an unhappy woman. I have had neither wine nor liquor. I was only pouring out my troubles to the Lord. Do not think your handmaid a ne'er-do-well. My prayer has been prompted by my deep sorrow and misery. Now, that really drew Eli up short, and Eli says, go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him. If Hannah had stormed out, if she had reacted to the anger and stormed out, she never would have had the blessing of the high priest. How many blessings do you and I miss because somebody speaks to us rudely, and we react rudely, and one reaction leads to another? How many times do we just stop and say, no, I'm sorry, you're wrong. This is what's going on. There's a certain humility in being able to do that. Eli said to her, go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant you what you have asked of him. And she replied, think kindly of your maidservant. It's another way of saying, pray for me, remember me, and think well of me. And she left. She went to her quarters, ate and drank with her husband, and no longer appeared downcast. She was at peace. The next morning, they worshiped before the Lord and then returned to their home in Ramah. When Elkanah had relations with his wife Hannah, the Lord remembered her. She conceived, and at the end of her term bore a son, whom she called Samuel, since she had asked the Lord for him. I just keep thinking back to that sentence. How many times do we respond angrily? Somebody's made a mistake in judgment. Somebody says something to us sharp, and we just retaliate. When right in the middle of that may be a blessing. Even if Eli was wrong, even if what he said was wrong to say, nevertheless, because Hannah didn't react in anger, she opened the door for both of them, for he to bless her and for she to conceive. Responsorial Psalm, 1 Samuel chapter 2, my heart exalts in the Lord my Savior. My heart exalts in God because of what he does for us. And the gospel is the gospel of Mark. Jesus came to Capernaum. This is chapter 1, beginning with verse 21. Jesus came to Capernaum with his followers, and on the Sabbath he entered the synagogue and taught. The people were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority, and not as the scribes. See, the scribes were just giving you the rules and the regulations. Jesus spoke out of a relationship. He taught them as one having authority. It's the authority of clearly knowing who you are and knowing that what you have to offer is the truth and it brings peace. You're not trying to challenge. You're not trying to stuff something down someone's throat. Jesus knew what he was saying was the truth and he was offering it to them. People were astonished, for he taught them as one having authority. It's a moral authority. When you dwell in the truth, you live in the truth. When you speak, it carries authority. And of course, with God, it carried infinite authority. But that's where it comes from. In their synagogue was a man with an unclean spirit. He cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are. You're the Holy One of Israel." See, you don't want Satan speaking, and Jesus knows that. You don't want him declaring what's the truth, because then people will pay more attention to it. They'll draw nearer, even if it's the spirit inside somebody, they'll be drawn into it. And then when he gets his clutches on you, he turns it to evil. And so that's why Jesus rebuked him and said, "Quiet. Come out of him." And the unclean spirit convulsed him, and with a loud cry, came out of him. Jesus has power and authority. When you're struggling, when you're having a hard time between sin and doing good, do you listen to the enemy? Do you listen to the evil one, his lies, his all kinds of ways of lying? Or do you say what your baptism gives you the right to say? In the name of Jesus Christ, be gone out of my life. I'm not going to listen to you and I'm not going to follow you. I say that a lot. We get temptations all the time. The origin of the temptations are the evil one. All were amazed and asked one another, "What is this? A new teaching with authority. He commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." His fame spread everywhere throughout the whole region of Galilee. I have before read to you excerpts from Anne Voskamp's book, 1,000 Gifts. Again, I would recommend it highly to you. 1,000 Gifts. She is a Protestant woman, a mother, I think, of 6 children. She and her husband live in Canada. And a great gift has awakened in her. And her gift of writing, her book, 1,000 Gifts, was a bestseller on the New York Times book list. Not that that is the epitome of fame, but it is an indicator of sometimes of books that should be paid attention to, and this book is particularly good. This is what she writes. It is strange how the mind works. The mind would rather fret about the future or pine over the past. So the mind can cling to its own illusion of control. But the current moment, it cannot be controlled. And what a mind can't control, it tends to discount, brush past, over. It's the battle plan of the enemy of the soul to keep us blind to this current moment, the one we can't control. To keep us blind to him, the one who controls everything. The enemy tries to silence us and sometimes blind us, tries even to blind us from God. When you think, just one example, think of the times that you think so many negative thoughts about yourself. They don't come from God, brothers and sisters. They're just thoughts. But it can be the enemy just trying to insinuate himself into your thinking until he can get you disturbed, uncomfortable, and then you start believing the negative things. What if instead of discounting the current moment, the uncontrollable, the simply given, what if I counted it and on the God who controls it all? What if all our running around is only our trying to run away from God, the great I am, present in the present moment? What if I woke to it now and refused to hurry because I didn't want to refuse God? What if I didn't discount this moment but counted it for what it is? God is present. It is only the present moment alone that holds the possibility of coming into the presence of God. Look around. Breathe deep. Enter into one moment. Now could be an altar, and this time could be a tabernacle. In other words, God is right here in the present moment. We spend all of our time thinking about the past and worrying about the future. She's saying if you really want to know the presence of Christ, and if you want to experience gratitude in your life, focus on the present moment. In God, there is no time, only eternity, or more simply, only now. His name is I Am. Here, wherever my feet are in this moment, is where I can love him. Let me read that last paragraph. In God, there is no time, only eternity, or more simply, only now. His name is I Am. Now, past or future, I am. Wherever my feet are is where I can love him. Brothers and sisters, take a few moments today and take a look at yourself. How much do you live in the present moment? How much do you live in the past or the future? God bless you. As we prepare for this year of mercy, which will begin this December, I want to make available to you a free copy of my booklet, Captured by Mercy. I'm going to be speaking on this program a great deal about the true meaning of mercy, but I'd like you to have a free copy of my booklet now, Captured by Mercy. You can receive it simply by calling this number, 1-800-282-4789.